All right, Bob. A voice comes from right behind me. I start, and it feels like someone's clubbed me behind the ear again. My head is about to split open.
That thing?
Her voice is shaky. It's an altar, I say tiredly. Should have recognized the design sooner. Alan, the bad guy is loose here. Somewhere. Mo was bait for a trap.
Explain,
Alan says, almost absent-mindedly. I roll my head round and see that Mo is sitting with her back to the wall, legs stretched out in front of her. Someone's given her one of the red survival suits, no good in vacuum, but enough to keep her warm, and she's got a silver foil blanket stretched around her shoulders. Behind her, the altar is a splintered wreck. It's not so hard to open a gate and bring an information entity through, especially if you've got a body ready and waiting for it at the other end, right? Physical gates are harder, and the bigger you want them, the more energy or life you have to expend to stabilize it. Anyway, this is an altar. There are a couple like it in the basement of that museum we came to visit. You put the sacrifice on the altar, wire it to an invocation grid, and kill the victim. That's what the chandelier was for, channeling what comes back out. Only this one, the guards and wards around the altar are buggered. They'd offer no protection at all once the summoning was manifest, and the thing would take over anyone it could come into contact with. Transfer by electrical conduction. That's how a lot of these things spread.
So you tried to shield her with your body, says Alan. How touching.
I cough and wince at the answering pain in my head. Not really. I figured the scaffold wouldn't be able to cut through my air tanks, and if it killed her, we'd all be dead anyway.
What was it set up to summon?
Mo asks, her voice still hoarse. I don't know, I frown. Nothing friendly, that's for sure. But then, this isn't the Arna Nebba, is it? Even though they built this place, they've been dead for a long time. Suicide, by the look of it. This bastard's some kind of possessor entity. Jumps from body to body. It's been shadowing you from the States, but when it got you, all it did was use you as raw material in a summoning sacrifice. Doesn't make sense, does it? If it wanted you so bad, why not just walk up to you, shake hands, and move into your head?
It doesn't matter right now.
Alan stands.
We're leaving soon. According to Roland, the gate's shrinking. We've got about 4 hours to pull out, and your mystery kidnapper hasn't tried to make a break for it. What we're going to do is put a guard on the gate, get the hell out of here, and leave the demo charge ticking. He won't be able to sneak back around us, and the gadget will toast what's left of this place.
Uh-huh. How's my tankage?
Dented, and your suit front panel is blown. It took the brunt of the charge, otherwise you'd be a crispy critter right now. Look, I'm going to get things organized in person, seeing all our radios are flaking out.
Alan looks round.
Hutter, get these people sorted out and ready to pull back. I want them both mobile within the hour. We've got a lot of shit to move out of here.
He glances down at me and winks.
You've done well.
Over the course of the next 15 minutes, I recover enough to sit up against the wall, and Mo just about manages to stop shivering. She leans against me.
Thank you, she says quietly. That went way beyond.
Hutter and Chaitin bang in through the door, heaving a couple of bulky kit bags full of assorted gear. Vacuum support underwear, heated outer suit, a new regulator and air tank for my framework, a new backpack and helmet for Mo.
Look at the lovebirds,
Chaitin says, apparently amused by us.
On your feet, pretties. Gotta get you ready to move, and ain't nobody going to carry you.
While Hutter is getting Mo into her pressure gear, I stumble around the wreckage of the Procrustean bed and hunt for my palm top, dropped when I had to leap for her life. I find it lying on the concrete floor, evidently kicked into a corner of the room, but it's undamaged, which is a big relief. I pick it up and check the thalm level absently, and freeze. Something is really not right around here. Following the display, I trail around the walls until I find an inexplicably high reading in front of that rack of high-tension switchgear. Something is happening here. Local entropy is sky high, as if information is being destroyed by irreversible computation in the vicinity. But the rack is switched off. I pocket the small computer and give the rack an experimental yank. I'm nearly knocked off my feet when it slides toward me.
Hey!
Chaitin is right behind me, shoving me out of the way and pointing his gun into the dark cavity behind the rack.
Don't,
I say tersely. Look. I switch on my suit headlamp and promptly wish I hadn't.
Oh, Jesus.
Chaitin lowers his gun but doesn't look away. The room behind the instrument rack is another cell. It must have been undisturbed for a long time, but it's so cold that most of the body parts are still recognizable. There's a butcher's shop miasma hanging over it. Not decay, exactly, but the smell of death. Enough spare parts for Dr. Frankenstein to make a dozen monsters lie heaped in the room, piled in brown ice drifts in the corners.
Shut the fucking door,
he says distantly, and steps out of my way.
Anyone got a hacksaw? I ask. You can't be serious.
Chaitin pushes up his visor and stares at me.
Why?
I want to take samples from the top few bodies, I say slowly. I think they may be something to do with the Mukhabarat Santa Cruz operation.
You're nuts,
he says. Maybe, but don't you want to know who these people were?
No fucking way, mate, he says.
Then he breathes deeply.
Look, I was in Bosnia, you know, the mass graves.
He glances down and scuffs the floor.
Spent a couple of weeks guarding the forensics guys one summer. The worst thing about those pits, you scrubbed like crazy, but in the end, you had to throw your boots away. Once that smell gets into the leather, it won't leave.
He looks away.
You're fucking out of your skull if you think I'm going to help you take trophies.
So just get me an axe, I snap irritably. Then I wince again and wish I hadn't. He looks at me oddly for a moment, as if trying to make his mind up whether or not to get physical, then turns and stomps off. When Chaitin returns, he's carrying a fireman's axe and an empty kit bag. He leaves me